Afternoon, everyone. Welcome to this week's Starblaze podcast. No Steve or Danny this week, but the main man is here. James, how are you? You okay?
Yeah, I'm very good. Thank you for that. The five is in the post now, Chris. So, just leave you. Send me your address by email at the end of the show.
Absolutely. No, good to see you, James. Sheffield United enter this weekend's game against Swansea City, having failed to score in their last two games. Is this a concern, James?
No, I don't think it is. And I say that for a couple of reasons. One, they haven't lost any of those games. One of those was against Huddersfield Town, obviously a team also looking to try and get into the playoffs. The other one was against a Hull City side that, despite not coming into the match in a great deal of form, shall we say, I thought were really well drilled and clearly arrived with a game plan that they executed really effectively. So Sheffield United haven't lost either of those two games, which means that their momentum is still sort of, you know, vaguely intact. And I think they've shown already this season, already in recent weeks, that they can score goals. In the winning run that they had going into those two Yorkshire derbies, although I don't really think they are derbies, let's say all Yorkshire affairs. You know, they'd scored twice in all of those games building up to that period. They've got Billy Sharp in the squad. I don't think there's a better finisher in the division. People at Blackburn, Ben Britton Davis, I know he looks like he's out now, but they might disagree with that. But for me, Billy is still the king. So there's good players to come back into the team. No, I don't think it's a major concern. Listen, if we sat here next week and we're still talking about Sheffield United having not scored a goal, then I think there'll be an issue. But if you look at the options that Paul has got available to him, I don't think he'll be overly concerned. And indeed, when we spoke to him about it this week, he wasn't.
Good stuff, James. Good stuff. Yeah. Do you think, should Daniel Jeppesen be given a chance to start after coming back from his loan spell with Burton?
It's a really interesting one, this, I think, with Daniel, because he's clearly an exceptional footballer. He's clearly got the ability to be able to score goals in the English Football League. He's clearly got the ability to be able to score goals in the Premier League as well, because, of course, that's something he did on his full debut for the club last season. He's also clearly a player that Paul Heckingbottom has a great deal of admiration for. But I think it's interesting because reading between the lines of what Paul has said in recent days, even what he said in his programme notes before the match against Hull, when I think there was a few people thought this might be the match that Daniel gets an opportunity in, I think there's clearly a reluctance to put too much pressure on Daniel at this stage of the season. Now, maybe if we'd have been a couple of months back, I think perhaps things might have been different when there isn't quite that. Listen, there's always a pressure to get results. I get that. But there isn't quite that same sort of, I don't know, sort of demand to get wins, the demand to keep that points total ticking over, because we're approaching the end of the season now, and the race for promotion is at a really critical juncture. It's going to be defined, I think, over the next four or so weeks. So I think that's why it's understandable that Paul at the moment and his coaching staff are putting their faith in experience. We've seen Ollie McBurney come in. Illiman Ndiaye has also played up top. Now, he's a young player, but I think it's fair to say that already now he's got more experience at senior level, certainly in the Championship, than Daniel has. What I will say is, though, is that when you look at the workload that Sheffield United are under at the moment, when you look at the way the fixture calendar is, I think Daniel will get opportunities. There is absolutely no doubt about that. I think he's going to have to. Paul Heckingbottom, in answering one of the questions I put to him during his pre-match press conference, he said that we have no other option at the moment but to rotate our squad. We've already lost two strikers to injury, Rhian Brewster and David McGoldrick. If we keep picking the same team, we will lose more players to injury. He was absolutely adamant and convinced about that. So I think Daniel will come in. at some point. I don't think there's any doubt about that whatsoever. But I also think it's important to sort of look at him in context. He's a very young player. He's 18. Now, I know there was somebody, I do apologise to him, I can't remember their name, who sent me a tweet on social media saying, well, Everton weren't bothered about throwing, you know, a very young Wayne Rooney into their side. Liverpool weren't bothered about throwing a very young Robbie Fowler or Michael Owen into their team. And yeah, I absolutely get the point. If you're good enough, you're old enough. And I think Daniel Jebison will be good enough. But I don't think, and I mean this with no slight on the lad, I don't think he's quite in the Wayne Rooney class or the Michael Owen class or the Robbie Fowler class just yet. So I think Sheffield United will tread carefully with him, but yes, they will lose him. I also think it's important to say that had Rhian Brewster still been available, I don't think Daniel would have been brought back, actually, from his loan at Burton. He'll have learned so much there, working under Jimmy Floyd Hasselbank, who, of course, I don't think there were many better strikers than Jimmy in his day and in the era of the Premier League that he was playing in. He will have returned to Bramall Lane a much better, a much more knowledgeable, and I think a much more confident player from working with Jimmy and playing at Burton Albion regularly. But I think he would have still been there had Rhian Brewster been fit and available for selection.
Yeah. James, Ollie McBurney, do you think he's the answer in attack?
I think he can be, yes. Listen, Billy Sharp is still the number one. Yeah. Billy Sharp is still the go-to man at Sheffield United. Of that, there is absolutely no doubt. And without being sort of downbeat, I think looking forward, I think there are questions there for Sheffield United to answer as to why, having spent two seasons in the Premier League, Billy Sharp at 36, who was playing for him in League One, is still the best striker that they've got. And I think that's something that moving forward they need to look at in terms of I wouldn't say the recruitment, because I think the recruitment people at Bramall Lane have done a really good job with the resources that have been given to them. But that's clearly something that Sheffield United are going to have to address moving forward. I think it's also fair to say that Ollie isn't at his best at the moment. His finishing isn't quite as sharp as it could be. But I think he's started the last two games. He started the last two games having had a long period out of the team when he was forced to isolate because he was a close contact with someone who tested positive for COVID-19. He then contracted the virus himself. Then he had a bout of tonsillitis. And Paul Heckingbottom explained earlier this month that really affected Ollie. You know, those health issues back to back. Said he lost an awful lot of weight. I think he'll have lost, you know, we spoke about momentum at the top of this. He'll have lost a lot of momentum as well. But we know what he can do in this division. He was absolutely prolific for Swansea City in this division before he came to Sheffield United. He's already shown that in his first season at the club, he can score important goals against good opposition in the Premier League. So if he can do it in the Premier League, he can certainly do it in the Championship. I think with Ollie, it's just a case of getting his confidence back and getting him a run of games. Now, whether or not he can form an effective partnership with Billy Sharp, who knows? I thought it was interesting at Huddersfield last weekend that when they did play together, Ollie almost became the focal point of the attack. And with all due respect to him again, I think when you've got a finisher like Billy Sharp on the pitch, that's possibly not something you want. But they're only going to be able to work that out together by playing games. And you do suspect, looking at the options that Sheffield United have got available to them now that we've just discussed, and when you look at the workload they've got coming up, that they are going to have to be playing games together. So I think Ollie can improve, yes. But I think the encouraging thing, and where Ollie perhaps should be cut a little bit of slack by the likes of ourselves in the media, is that he's shown he can do it in the past. You know, we're not dealing with an unknown quantity here. We're dealing with someone who we know can score goals in the Championship.
Yeah. So, Swansea this weekend, how do you see the game unfolding, James?
I think it will be a really, really interesting game, this one. I think it's going to be a test of patience. a test of patience in a very different way, actually, to the one that Sheffield United just failed to overcome against Hull City in midweek. This is no slight on Hull City whatsoever, but they clearly came intent on ensuring the match had absolutely no rhythm. They clearly came intent on wasting a little bit of time and dragging it out. I mean, at one point when the fourth official came out to signal how much added time there was going to be put on at the end of the first half, I was half expecting to hold up 70 minutes rather than seven. But that's no criticism of Hull City whatsoever. They will be using the cards that they've been dealt with. They'll have gone into that game looking at the best way to upset Sheffield United, and they did that. They were perfectly within their rights to do what they did, particularly when the officials didn't sort of clamp down on that. But it's not up to them to help Sheffield United. But I think this game against Swansea will be a test of patience again, but a test of patience because Swansea are a team that like to dominate the ball. And they will pass almost for passing sake at times. We saw that when the two clubs met down in Wales earlier this term. Sheffield United, although they're playing a different way under Paul to the approach that they adopted under Slavisa Jokanović, which again was very, very possession-based. It's interesting, their possession stats haven't really altered, or certainly haven't the last time I looked at them. So there is going to be one of the two teams in this fixture who are not going to see as much of the ball as ordinarily they might have liked. I do suspect that team will probably be Sheffield United. But I think the good thing is that they've shown, when you look at the way that they were playing under Slav, and when you look at the way they're playing under Paul Heckingbottom now and the results they're getting now, I think they've shown that they can win games in different ways. So I think perhaps they're better equipped. I think they've got a better skill set going into this fixture than perhaps Swansea City have. I desperately hope that statement there doesn't come back to bite me on the backside. But I do think this is a game that Sheffield United can win, and I do think it's one they will win as well.
Brilliant. Well, we'll leave it there, James. Short episode this week. Normal service will be resumed next week when Danny and Steve are back. So don't forget to check out the star.co.uk for all the latest news and results over the weekend. And we'll see you next week.